Welcome to this week's Point Community Church Sunday Sermon. If you'd like to learn more about the Point Community Church, please visit our website at tpcc.org.au.
Well, we all have dreams of a better life. Many of them are just normal. Wish there were more in-person classes at uni so I could hang out with my peers. I wish they weren't all online. Yeah, that's just a normal one. I wish the cost of living wasn't so high. Some of our dreams are quite noble. I wish we could end homelessness in Port Macquarie. Some of our dreams are just sheer lazy. I wish I had a rich uncle that I never knew that passed away and left me a massive inheritance. We all have dreams of a better life. We all examine our situations and we determine what needs to change in order to be able to see that dream happen. Dreams need change. Change is required in order to see our dreams fulfilled. And God agrees. Change is required. But here's where God disagrees. Our dreams don't go deep enough. We want to change our circumstances. God wants to change our heart. We focus on the externals. God is focused on the internal. And when it comes to that change that God wants, that heart change, some of us have given up. I've tried and I've tried and I've tried, but I just cannot beat that sin. Some of us don't even know God is in the change business. We've heard God say, come as you are, and then we assume God also says, and stay as you are. And then some of us don't even know how to change. And so today we begin a 10-week preaching and point group series titled, How People Change. I believe this is one of the most important series we've ever done. But as I shared with Morning Church, I say that about every series. So what does that even mean? Let me tell you why I think this series is important. And I think we've already heard from Kylie why. When God sends the storms into our lives, how do we grow more like Christ rather than more away from Christ? And we all have dreams of a better life. But God's dream for our life is bigger and better than any of our small dreams. Now, the good news is God is good. God is not a distant God off behind the clouds judging us with arms all folded and say, you better try harder. No. God actually gives us everything we need to change. Our problem is we forget all that God gives us. And so here's how this introductory sermon is going to roll out. Firstly, we're going to see that God really does give us everything we need. Everything we need to change. Then we're going to be reminded of our forgetfulness, what I like to call gospel amnesia. And then we're going to finish on a high. A reminder of where God is taking us. I know it says where God is taking you, where God is taking us. Everything we need, we all get gospel amnesia, where God is taking us. And so firstly, everything you need. Everything we need to change. God is in the change business. And the change God is after is to help us become more like Jesus. So turn in your Bible to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. I'll give you a sec just to flick over there. 2 Peter chapter 1, we're going to read from verse 3. Peter 3 verse 1, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. Now that is a very difficult first read for anyone. But here's the heart of the matter. It's actually easy to understand and powerful to apply. Let's run through it, the verses bit by bit. God has granted us all things. Note that God's name actually isn't used in verse 3. God is just simply described. His divine power. Divine simply means God. God's power. God's power. The same power that creates the universe, the same power that sustains a universe, is the power that we have. And so the same power that created all of that has granted Christians all things. All things. Not 99% of things, not some things, all things. All things that pertain to life and godliness. Now, if godliness was left out of verse 3, I think we'd be tempted to think, oh yeah, God's granted us all things for eternal life. We might assume that this verse is simply reminding us that God saved us and that one day we're going to be with him forever. We understand the past of our salvation. The past of our salvation is Jesus died for our sins. And we get the future of our salvation. Jesus is going to come back and take us to be with him forever. But God deliberately tells us that he has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. That is, we have everything we need to be godly. Brother, sister, I want you to see this. So have a look at verse 3. I want you to see, I'm not making this up. This is exactly what God says. Verse 3, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Okay, here's a easy question, and you can call out an answer. Am I perfectly godly? That was better than morning church. It was actually louder and quick. No, obviously not. And neither are you. But here we are, confronted by the reality that we have everything we need from God for life and godliness. This is the tension every Christian must live with. The tension between the daily reality of our sin and the daily reality that there are no excuses. That tension tells us that God is in the change business. And it's not a change of our circumstances, which is where most of our dreams sit. No, no, no. God wants to change our heart, because our heart is where our sin comes from. And the Bible has a word for this change. That word is sanctification. So, we're spending an entire term on sanctification. Sanctification is the Bible word for growing in holiness, growing in godliness, growing more like Jesus. And sanctification is a process. Sanctification involves progress, not perfection. So let's keep reading. God declares to his children that he's granted us all things for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. Yes, that is difficult to follow, but here it is in a nutshell. God has granted his children everything we need for our sanctification through Jesus Christ. You see, not only is Jesus our Savior, not only is Jesus our Rescuer, not only is Jesus our Redeemer, not only is Jesus the one who's going to come and take us to the new heavens and the new earth, Jesus is also present by the Holy Spirit right now to help us change. And we're going to spend an entire term to slow down, to relearn how people change. This change is radically different from our dreams of a better life. This dream is radically different from what the influencers and the self-help books are all trying to shove down our throat. You know, their advice is always change your circumstances. How to get a better job, how to retire in your 50s, how to lose weight, how to change your friends, how to max your looks, how to make your bed, do your chores, make a difference. And I'm not even saying that's all bad advice. I'm just simply pointing out it's all advice about how to change our circumstances. God is after so much more. The heart of God's change is a message to change our hearts. Because the heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. Jesus says things so radical we don't even want to hear him. For instance, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Jesus also says it is possible to worship God with our lips, but our heart can be far from him. That is radical. That is frightening. And yet we know it's true. You have been in multiple situations where on the inside you are seething. You're angry. You really don't like the person that you're talking to that's right in front of you, and you want to give them a piece of your mind. But on the outside, you are calm. You spoke to them kindly. You kept the peace. We know how to hide our heart. But then there's times when it spills out, isn't it? For all to see. Everyone sees our true heart, and then we become experts at blaming, excusing, and denying. That person made me angry. The pressure of work has turned me to alcohol. I was just really tired. Oh, come on, my anger wasn't that bad. Blame, excuse, deny. God says for the Christian, there is no excuse. God has granted everything we need for life and godliness. This is going to be a great term, yeah? I know I sounded a little sarcastic. I'm actually deeply serious. I know how much I need to change in order to grow more like Christ. And I am looking forward to doing it with you, my church family. Okay, that's everything we need. Now to our second point, we all get gospel amnesia. So if there is nothing less than God's divine power granting us everything we need for godliness, yet every Christian knows they don't live up to their own standards, let alone God's expectations, what is the problem? Well, obviously the problem is we just got to try harder. I'm glad you laughed. No, trying harder is the wrong answer, but it's not completely the wrong answer. Now, there's an old Scottish proverb that says, for every 1 mile of road, there's 2 miles of ditches. This term, we're learning about God's wonderful, beautiful road of sanctification. And along its side of it are 2 ditches, one either side. One ditch is the proud, I'm just going to change and I'll try harder and I'll get there. That's the proud side. The other side is the self-pity. I can never change, this will never happen side. Perhaps better than anywhere else in Scripture, 2 Peter 1 helps us see God's sanctification road. Have a look at 2 Peter. We're still in chapter 1, verse 10. We're jumping down to verse 10. Therefore, brothers and sisters, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fail. Gee, that sounds an awful lot like God is simply saying, try harder, be diligent, let's get going, put all of these qualities into practice. Especially when we read the qualities that verse 10 is talking about. We're going to go back and read them, verses 5 to 7, when we hear what God is calling us to do. Jump verse 5. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. Did you hear that? Make every effort. See that these qualities are increasing. Be diligent. Make sure you practice. It sounds like God is telling us to try harder. And that's because we completely miss one critical word in verse 10. I'm going to read verse 10 again. Therefore, brothers and sisters, be all the more diligent to confirm. Confirm. Be diligent to confirm. Our brains just somehow read over that word confirm and we replace it with earn. The Bible never says earn your salvation. As a matter of fact, the whole Bible story is one to tell us we could never earn our salvation. The whole Bible story is one where God loves to pour out his grace. Somehow we just skip over that word confirm and replace it with earn, and that is our problem. Have a look at what we're supposed to diligently confirm. Confirm your calling and election. The best way I've heard, simplest to remember this calling and election is Christians are not choice people. Christians are chosen people. We're chosen. God doesn't look around. Jesus doesn't look around the world and go, oh, your choice, your choice, your choice. God chooses simply because God chooses. And then what we're hearing tonight is because God has chosen us, now we want to be excited to confirm what he's already done. Jump with me now to verse 8. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful. And notice what ineffective or unfruitful in what? In the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. 2 Peter 1 tells us that any Christian who is not growing in godliness is blind. They have forgotten Jesus who cleansed them from their sins. They have gospel amnesia. Now, did you notice God reminds us up in verse 3 that he grants us all things for life and godliness through our knowledge of him? And then down in verse 8, which we just read, God reminds us that we're supposed to be effective and fruitful in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's important we just land on this word knowledge for a second because I don't think we give it its full meaning. We tend to think of knowledge as information only. But when the Bible talks about knowledge of somebody, the Bible's talking about an intimacy between people, about a love between people. We are to grow in our love and our intimacy with the Lord Jesus Christ. So how does knowledge of Jesus change us? Have a look at verse 9. For whoever lacks these qualities, you know, the virtues that we're meant to be growing in, the knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, for whoever lacks those qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Christian, do not let a day go by where you forget that Jesus has cleansed you from your sins. In particular, remember how Jesus cleansed you from your sin. It's not our effort. It's not because we're choice. It's grace alone. And God's grace came at infinite cost to God. The death of Jesus on the cross. And so we're being told to remember Jesus and what he joyfully did on that cross for us. That is what knowledge of Jesus is all about. I remember a time when someone significantly hurt me. And I tried to step into doing, you know, the hard work of it takes two to tango, and so I'm trying to take the log out of my own eye before I'm worried about the speck in his own eye. But the longer this went on, the more I was realizing that actually this is one of those situations where the log is in his eye. And not only has he significantly hurt me, he's significantly hurt people I care about. And in those tough conflicts, my natural reaction is either to turn up and be ready to fight or to just cut off. And my wife just happened to ask me, Steve, what would it look like to continue to walk towards this person? And that's what it took to stop me and help me think about the gospel, to remember, to call on the knowledge that I know about Jesus Christ. You see, I started to remember how I spend much of my life offending Jesus. In the heat of conflict, I'd forgotten that I owe Jesus everything. I forgot the costly love of Jesus for me. And yet Jesus always extends the welcome mat. What helped me change from wanting to either fight or cut this person off was the costly love of Jesus. At that point in my life, knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ was so much more than just information about Jesus. Jesus was real. Jesus was my helper to help me change. When it comes to growth and change, 2 Peter chapter 1 is telling us that our biggest problem is that we spend too much time forgetting God. Forgetting that he created us. Forgetting how he saved us. Forgetting that we owe him everything. We should be thinking about God all the time. We should be thinking about God all the time. We should never forget about God, and yet we forget about God. We all get gospel amnesia. This term, we're asking everyone in a point group to take on a personal change project. Take on a specific area of your life where you want to become more like Jesus. And encourage you, be specific, don't be general. I want to be more godly. We can all say that. We all want to be more godly, but be specific. You know, I want to whinge less when things don't go my way at work. My personal change project for this term is to be more courageous with speaking the truth in love to people who are easily offended. I strongly urge all of us in a point group take on a personal change project this term. God is in the change business. He is a good father. He's passionate about helping you, helping me grow more and more and more like Jesus. If you're not in a point group, you can still take on a change project. It will just be harder. You won't have a community around you helping you. In a couple of weeks, we're going to see that one of the big change agents God has for us is actually each other. Let's all take on a change project this term. Okay, we need to finish up. Third and final point, where is God taking us? This is going to be a huge term. If we allow it to be. We all tend to settle for our small dreams. Small dreams are dreams focused on our circumstances. Small dreams begin with, if only I had, or when I reach that stage, or if only that person or that thing or that illness was not in my life. God comes thundering in to our small dreams and declares he has granted us all things for life and godliness. And brothers and sisters, in our better moments, we know that there is nothing better than godliness. There's nothing better than godliness. To love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves, there's life. There's freedom. That's what we're created for. So let's step into God's change project. He's after nothing less than our hearts. Don't stay as you are. Don't buy the lie that you'll never change. We always have hope because we have to change. Our problem is we get gospel amnesia. Growth and change is not only possible, it's necessary. The God who loved you enough to send his own son to die for you is the same God who sends you his son by his spirit right now to grow you. To change you, to grow me, to change me. This term, we're going to learn how he does that. And so, yes, it is one of those terms where we're rolling up our sleeves and it's going to be hard work. And I imagine if you're like me, there's going to be tears along the way. But man, if it's our Father who's changing us, it's worth it. This week in Point Group, you'll look at Philippians chapter 1, where there's this great promise that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. God is doing this. He's going to do it. And so I want to finish just with that Revelation reading again. Because as we work hard to become more like Christ now, when we're rolling up our sleeves and it's hard now and there are tears now, let's remember where God is taking us. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. That's where we're headed. God's taking us there. I so look forward to it. Who's our MC tonight? Right in front. Is there any questions come in? Yes. Okay. We're going to sing. I'm going to pray. We're going to sing, and then we're going to do some Q&A. Oh, Father, what a day. We long for that day where we finally get to see you. And while we wait, would we do everything we can in the power of your Spirit and with each other to desire you more and more, to hear every command you ever give as only good and right that we want to step into. Father, we pray, change us, grow us, make us more like your Son. For your glory, our joy, in Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening. Tune in next week for our latest sermon, or better yet, join us live at 9:30 or 5 p.m. Sunday. You can find all the details on our website at tpcc.org.au.